Okay, today we're going to look at one of the promises of God. We've been learning how to live like champions, learn how to live in victory. And the way we do that is just like I said, you have to know the promises of God. So every week, most of the year, we've been handing out memory cards. And this is this week's memory card. If you didn't get it on the way out, please. And this is the promise of membership. Last week, we had a guest speaker while I was out slogging with some of my hiking buddies, and we did a 53-mile stretch of the Appalachian Trail down in Georgia. Amazing time. If you want to ask me questions about that, let me know. You know I love to get in the backwoods and just be out there. And Mark did a phenomenal job last week. I talked with him, thanked him for just bringing a word of love to the congregation. And today, I'm doing kind of a companion message to what Mark brought last week. And we did the promise of leadership last week, and this week is the promise of membership. Now, membership is a word that we need to understand, built upon the teachings of God's word, because our culture teaches us concepts of membership that are not biblical. For example, American Express. Now, they don't use this slogan anymore, but this is the one I was raised with, okay? American Express taught us that membership has its privileges, meaning that if you paid your dues, then you received your benefits. God's word teaches us that membership is a privilege, and that being a healthy and functional member of the body of Christ is an essential part of experiencing God's holiness and God's wholeness within us, because holiness is Christ in us. And when we live as members of a healthy body, as we live as parts of a living organism with Christ as the head, then his wholeness and his holiness flow into us. And it's easy to live in isolation and say, look at me, I'm such a good person. But it's when we come together that we are refined and transformed through those great conversations Brandon was referring to. Because that's where we learn to love. That's where we learn to show compassion and mercy to one another. I believe that membership, being a part of the body of Christ, is an important part of our ongoing sanctification, which means it's an important part of our ongoing way of experiencing wholeness and reflecting God's holiness to the world. We want to shine the love of Jesus. We want to shine the light of God. We want to respond to people with truth and grace, with gentleness, remembering that the kingdom of God is a relational kingdom. And that no matter the issue, there's a human being on the other side of that issue. No matter the political ideology, there's a human being on the other side of that issue. That we don't talk in theories, we talk in relationship. And Jesus did that. Jesus demonstrated for us that people are his mission. And so you can be right and wrong at the same time. And I think membership teaches us that. You can have a right view of what you believe the Bible teaches you, but you can be dead wrong in how you communicate the heartbeat and the tone of it by the way you do it without relationship. We have to be right in both the word and right in the grace. It's got to be done in truth and grace. Okay, so we want to be accurate with all of our interpretations of God's word because we believe in the infallible and inerrant word of God that is authority for every area of our life. And we need to communicate it with the same heartbeat that God sent his son into the world. And our current cultural melee doesn't teach us how to do that. There is no healthy communication seemingly happening in the world, but the church should be different because we're members of the one body. Okay, so let's look at this. Romans 12, verses 4 to 5 is our memory verse for the promise of membership. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Let me read that again. This is our memory verse for this week. I want you to meditate upon this word. I want you to hide it in your heart so that you do not sin against him. Because that's why we memorize God's word. The Bible says we hide God's word in our hearts so that we will not sin against him. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, members one of another. Lord Jesus, teach us to be completely dependent upon your headship. Jesus Christ is the head of the one body. There is no other head. We are mutually dependent upon one another and totally dependent upon Jesus. This body is a living organism, Lord. Teach us that we're each an essential piece of your living body, the church. Teach us, Lord, how to be healthy and functional as the individual parts of your body. Thank you for this imagery, Lord. Thank you for this common sense, everyday imagery. Lord, thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God who dwells in perfect community. Thank you for making us in your image to dwell in community. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul very intentionally gave us this imagery so that we can understand how important the promise of membership is. He gave us the imagery because we're all important to his purpose. So if I stub my big toe and it hurts really bad, what do I do? Do I just say, that darn toe? Do I say my toe hurts, or do I say I hurt? Let's say you have a back pain, or let's say you have a synapse misfire in your brain and the wrong words come out of your mouth. Can you say, synapse, you just made a fool of me? No, you just said, I made a fool of me. See, when every individual member of the body is healthy and functional, then it's almost like that part just flows organically with the rest of the body, and we just talk about a collective whole until something misfires, until something gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, that one little piece, whoosh. I remember when I was trail running and preparing for a mini, which is a 13.1 mile marathon, half marathon trail run. And I remember I talked about this. I had a little toe that just would not behave. It just kept hurting. And it's like, I feel great. I'm ready for this mini marathon and I'm just doing awesome. But this one toe, why won't it cooperate? Why does it keep getting black and blue? And then one of our fellow runners said, because your shoes are too small. Got it. But sometimes when we're going through life, we think everything's going well, but there's that one little thing that's not going right. And does that matter? Is that important? I'd say it does. Because you may say, it's just my little toe, but I'd say, no, that's your whole body. You ever see someone with a hurt knee just walking around kind of really changing their whole gait and the whole day way they walk because they're trying to protect their knee, and then they get their knee fixed and then they have hip problems? And that's the way the church is sometimes when we're trying to accommodate for there's a hurt member of the body and we're all trying to, figure out what to do with that. But then all of a sudden we try to get that situation fixed only to find out we have that situation because while we're fixing this situation, we cause another situation. Paul gave us this imagery on purpose because it's common sense. We all know this. It's true in our families. We talk about church as family, and we're like, great, that's a great thing. And I'm like, what do you mean that's a great thing? That's 200 individual families coming together with all their dysfunctionality and communication issues, trying to figure out how to communicate with one another and make decisions together when they have a hard time balancing their own checkbook at home. But we have higher expectations of our unity and our relationships here than we have of our own marriages and kids at home. Because this is supposed to be God's family, and therefore somehow we're supernaturally not human. It's kind of like when you get in your 40s, some of you have been there, some of you have not yet been there, and all of a sudden you start feeling those issues. Like, I cannot wear my glasses half the time now. For most of my life, my glasses were always on no matter what I did. Now, it's just like I can do some things with them, other things, and my eye doctor was like, I'm going to make you beg me for progressives. I said, you have no idea who you're talking to. I'll never beg you for anything. So here I am, not knowing when to wear my glasses because, you got male testosterone going between the pastor and the eye doctor. What I need to do is get progressives, but I don't want to acknowledge that my eyes need a little help. Does pride and a little male testosterone ever cause problems in the church? I'd say 2,000 years worth of it. The men of the church have been messing up the message for 2,000 years quite faithfully, thank you. Yes, yes. Are you in agreement? Okay. Who are you? Oh, okay. Okay, now Paul elaborate on this. I'm kind of just trying to show you how common sense this is just by talking with you. I want to read to you what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, because I don't want anyone leaving saying, yeah, he read a scripture and then he just talked and never went back to God's word. And you know that's not my heart. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at verses 12 to 27. And I want you to remember, as I read this, here is the American default way of reading this. Our way of reading this is it's about one congregation, but it's not. It's about the whole church. It's a both and. It's not an either or. I know we're black and white people. I know that makes life easier, but it's a little bit gray. It's about both this local congregation, and it's about the Church of Henry County, and it's about the church throughout the world. So when I read this, I want you to listen to where this fits when it talks about you in this congregation. I also want you to read about how this local congregation has to fit into the body of Henry County. But then I also want you to read it this way. I'm going to be a little provocative here. How does the Church of Afghanistan fit in this with us? Or the Church of Kazakh? Or Northern Korea? Or the underground churches of China? Because as you read this, this is not just about this congregation. And this is not just about First Baptist Church, and this is not just about the Church of Henry County. It's about all of that. And that's why it's gray, because how you apply it has levels. And it can get complicated, and those conversations can get very hot and divisive about which syllable you put the emphasis on. Because some people want to emphasize First Baptist Church only. Some people want to emphasize Henry County only. Some people want to emphasize only the church in America. Some people only want to talk about the church worldwide and the persecuted church. But they're all right. It's just we have to talk about them all. Isn't that hard? That's why being a part of the family of God is such a beautiful and mysterious thing. And it can't just be black and white. Well, this is what it means, and we need, you know, for First Baptist Church. You have to think about this at all those levels. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. I call this the extended version of Romans 12, 4 to 5. You know, if you like Lord of the Rings, you know, you got the made-for movie, and then you got the extended version. Okay, brace yourself. This is the extended version. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Holy Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, am I not a part of the body? It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. Do you see what Paul's doing here? This is pretty common sense stuff, right? You don't need any kind of degree to understand this. It's plain simple. The hard part is applying it to all those different levels. And we all have our preferences. The church loves to divide over preferences, okay? But we need to read this as it's intended. Okay, here we go. Verse 16, and if the ear says, because I am not an eye, am I not a part of the body? It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body, this is so hilarious, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? He's being funny here. He's using hyperbole on purpose. In other words, he's talking about what if I was a 6'6" eye, a 240-pound eye? You'd be freaked out right now. That'd be like definitely a scene from Lord of the Rings, this big eye with fire coming from it. Repent! You know, that'd be kind of freaked out, wouldn't it? If there was like a big eye out here, 240-pound, 6'6" eye. Paul's doing this to get our attention, to get us to wake up to what he's trying to communicate. All right. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, am I not a part of the body? It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And this is funny. If the whole were hearing, could you imagine a big ear up here? I was looking at Raven, by the way. We have a brand new baby in the house. Stacia, Caleb, congratulations. And I was looking at her ears, and they're so pretty, cute little tiny ears. So imagine if there's a 240-pound, 6'6" ear up here. You wouldn't be hearing anything. I wouldn't be able to talk. All right. Because I am not in... Oh, wait, here, no, let's go to verse 17. No, yep. If the hole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Imagine a big nose up here. You better hope it's not allergy season. That'd get messy. All right, here we go. Verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Who desired? Who? I thought you were a true American and you chose what seat you sat in and what church you went to. Huh. Anyways, I won't mess with that today. You. Isn't there something about submission that makes life a whole lot easier? But wait, that's a word we're not allowed to use. That's almost like a foul word. But there's true peace to be found when you rest in the will of the Lord. Verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Be gone with you. No, it's still there. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. Church, did you hear that? How many people here know that your big toe does much of the work of you being able to stand up? No one wants to smell your big toe. But without that big toe, you'd be falling all over the place. Very important. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. Big toe, I praise you. Right now, I'd be falling on my back, collapsing, if it weren't for you. On these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Verse 24, almost there, hang with me. Whereas our more presentable members who have no need of it. In other words, my face doesn't need any more attention. It gets plenty. I'm not telling you whether it's good or negative attention. I'm just saying it gets plenty of attention. And unfortunately, in the church of Jesus Christ, we like to put the face of the church and give it the most of attention. And as a pastor, I'll tell you, that's one of the ways the American church is failing. We put way too much emphasis upon the preaching gift. Too much emphasis on the pastor. We need to emphasize all the gifts, all the people, because that's the only way the church actually grows. And we'll get to that. That's kind of the big aha moment for today. So the gift of leadership is important, and that's what we talked about last week, right? The promise of leadership. But this week, we're talking about the promise of membership. And so we got to find a nice harmony here, because we're all one big happy family, one body. And there's only one head, and it's definitely not this guy. It's Jesus. I don't want to be the head. You don't want me as the head. Verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. Wow, what a concept. We all care for one another. We provide care for one another. You've heard that from me for 12 years. And if one member suffers, and all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you, verse 27, this is it, last verse. You are Christ's body and individually members of it. I told you that's the extended version of Romans 12, 4 to 5. Paul went into great detail so that we can hear how easy he meant this to be interpreted, how casually and commonly he meant this word to be understood. We don't need to do mental gymnastics. I don't need to tell you what the Greek words mean. It means what it means. We're all members of one body, and that body is the body of Christ. And that body is only as healthy and as functional as each individual member of the body. Does that make sense? Okay, Paul talks about it again. And this was actually last week's scripture. So what's interesting is I chose intentionally to use last week's memory verse in Scripture about the promise of leadership to emphasize the importance of the promise of membership, because they go hand in hand. So now turn with me to Paul's word to the Ephesians, and this is shorter. It is an extended version of Romans 12, but it's more specific. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. Okay, this is going to help us. This is the last time. This is going to help us emphasize the body imagery. Okay, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Ready? He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For, why did he give spiritual leaders to the church? For the equipping of the saints, which is another way of saying the members, the individual parts of the body. For the saints is not, don't think Roman Catholicism here. Don't think a saint is someone who's like Mother Teresa and you can't relate. Okay, this is you. This is, if you're a follower of Jesus and you go to church, he's talking about you. Okay? And if you need me to do the Greek for you to explain that, I will. But let's do that tomorrow at lunch. Okay? Tomorrow at lunch here at the church. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the... So the leaders equip all the individual parts for the building up of the body. You see the body imagery again? Verse 13. So how long are they supposed to do that? Until he returns. This is how he says it. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And Brandon, what's the faith? It's Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. That's our faith. It's what we celebrate at communion. It's not my opinion or the church's opinion on any divisive issue. It's the most divisive issue and the most unifying issue, which is our stance. Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ coming again. That's how long I'm supposed to keep working on us. Until we attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result... So if we, as leaders in the church, are working healthy with the members of the church, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Okay? Now, if that happens, that doesn't mean we get mean and defrock and divide and, you know, all those things. What it means is that we are to be compassionate with one another and figure out how we are supposed to function together, because there is no choice. There is no other body to run to. And that's where the Church of Henry County needs to get a handle on itself. We have a recycling program happening. There is only one body of Christ. Both in the local church and in the county and in the nation and in the world. There's only one head, and that head doesn't have denominational titles on it. The name is Jesus Christ. As a result, verse 15, this is how it happens. But speaking the truth in love, that's just not for the leaders, friends. That's for all of us. But the way we text, the way we tweet, the way we TikTok, the way we, I don't even know what you do. What is it called when you TikTok? Anyways, I'm so out of touch, Katie. I'm so not relevant. Anyways, you know, the way we do any of that kind of social media stuff, the way we do face-to-face, the way we do snail mail, the kind of gifts we give each other, the way we respond to someone's graduation or baby being born or death or cancer diagnosis, whatever it may be, we are to do all things by speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up. You would hate it if I stood up here and said, church, you need to grow up. You'd rather me say, church, we need to mature in the teachings of Jesus and apply them in our lives in such a way that gives him glory. But Paul, he doesn't care what you think. He's not worried. He has no job insecurity issues. He just says, grow up. You know, it's like when mom or dad or grandma and grandpa finally just says, you know, you just need to grow up. But he says, do that in love. Say grow up in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Christ, who is the head, into him who is the head, even Christ. Last verse, from whom the whole body, that's not just First Baptist Church, that's not just Henry County, that also includes the church in Afghanistan, the church in Kazakh, and the church in North Africa and North Korea, and the church in Pacifica. You know, you name a continent, even, did you know Australia? Isn't that continent? It's now called Pacifica? Yeah, I just learned that from my wife. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Anyways, don't start Googling right now. Pay attention. Anyways, you can check that out. That's true, right, Kim? Oh, wait, Oceania. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you bad information. I'm going to slap my wrist. So, Oceania, not Pacifica. I've been saying Pacifica. Why don't you correct me when I say things wrong? I love you. You're such an awesome wife. I learned anything I know that's of worth, I learned it from Kimberly. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes, here it is, causes, what causes the growth of the body?
Jesus.
Good answer. That is the right answer. It is Jesus who causes the growth of the body. Actually, did you know, Caden, that Matthew 16:18, Jesus says that I will build my church. Did you know that Jesus said that he was the one who'd build the church? But here's the deal. Okay, so Jesus promised he would be the one who built the church. But do you know how Jesus is building his church?
By waking up again and building.
That's right. He defeated death, and he sent his Holy Spirit upon his church so that the members of the church would work together in such a way that we would be like one body. So that when the world saw us, Caden, they wouldn't see lots of children running around playing tag and chasing their tails, which is what the current church looks like. The church that Jesus has called forth, that we're supposed to be a part of, both locally and internationally, is we're to look like one mature person in lockstep with his Spirit. That's a beautiful image. That's what he means here in verse 16. So thank you, Caden. You're a good man. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, including Caden, including all of our children, including all of our senior saints, all of us, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Jesus promised that he would build his church. How is Jesus building his church? By every individual member having a personal relationship with him. By the Holy Spirit working within us so that as we are completely dependent and submitted to the headship of Christ, we are mutually dependent upon one another to function together in healthy ways. And when we're not doing that, that is an invitation by God to learn how to do reconciliation, how to do resurrection, how to do relationships. And we live in a culture that doesn't value that or know how to do that because all our culture cares about is being right. And the church looks like that. But you can be right and be wrong at the same time because the ministry of the gospel is one that is to build his body so that the world would see one mature person who is reflecting Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. For we are the hope of the nations.
Amen.
You, the big toe. You, the mouthpiece. You, the hand. You, the elbow. It doesn't matter. We cannot function without you. And you may wish you were a different part, but that's only going to keep you in identity crisis and in insecurity and fear. The Lord wants you to have security in how he made you so that you can live fully within his calling, because men and women, Jews and Greek, Scythians and barbarians, the Bible says we are all meant to come together in the oneness of the body with Christ as our head and work together in complete cooperation so that the world would see the one message, the one faith, the one baptism, the one Spirit, the one Father who is over all. And how can they believe that message if they don't see it with us? That's the message. So we don't exalt our leaders. But we believe that they're given by God for a reason. And we don't exalt one gift or another because we know all the gifts are necessary, whether seen or unseen, glamorous or not glamorous. And we don't exalt different status of people in the world because God tells us not to show favoritism to anyone, but to bring all people together because we're all of one people now, the people of God. Regardless of race, regardless of economic status, regardless of education level, regardless of anything the world would divide by, we are the ministers of reconciliation. Our unity is a sign of the new heaven, new earth. And it starts here. And so right now we're going to conclude with this passage from Ezekiel 37. Because my deepest prayer for the church at First Baptist Church, our congregation, the congregation of First Baptist Church, that's us. I'm a member of this church. I love you. I love being a member of this church. I can't even imagine being a member of any other congregation. I love my congregation. I love my people. And I think I'm one of your people. I think we're people. I'm a Hoosier now. You know, I've been here almost 12 years. We've had two daughters here in Newcastle, Indiana. We are Hoosiers. And we're a part of a great Hoosier congregation. But this congregation also is a part of the universal congregation where the Kazakhs and the Afghanis and the Koreans and the Oceanic people, right? Is that how you would say it? They're still Australians. Okay, the Aussies. We're all one people. We're one body. So it's not us and them. It's not a black or white church. It's not a fundamentalist or liberal church. There's only one church. There's not a Republican or Democratic church. There's only one church. There's not a vaxxed or a non-vaxxed church. There's only one church. You know what? And I put in a couple different things there that are hot button because we've got to realize we have one platform with one message, and that's Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. And that's the only thing that brings hope to nations because no one's going to listen to us if we just get involved and get lost. You never put down your cross for a cause. If you're going to be a part and the Lord's going to release you and empower you to be a part of any movement in this culture to try to bring righteousness or justice, you better not put down your cross. You carry the cross of Jesus Christ into everything you do. Because as soon as you put down the cross, you will be seduced. You'll be seduced to be a part of a movement that is not of Jesus Christ, no matter where it started or who it started with. Because this world is trying to seduce you away from Christ. But we need to love the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. We are the hope of the nations. God loves this world. God loves the nations. God loves all people. We need to pray for the Taliban. Pray for their conversion. You know, you want to see the greatest change that happen in any foreign regime, any terrorist group? You pray for the conversion of their leaders. You pray for God to give visions and dreams to those people. They're going to go to hell apart from Christ. We don't want that. You don't want that for your worst enemy, do you? Because that's not the love of Christ. God says he doesn't want anyone to perish. We should not be any different. No matter what they've done to us, they've done something so much worse to God. And we need to pray for his compassion and mercy upon them. And we need to do that for our neighbors and for our bosses. We need to do that for everyone. Because there's only one answer. If they don't align with us politically, if they don't align with us on medical stuff, they don't align. I mean, there's so many things we can divide over. You can divide over whether your kids should go to this school or that school or not school. You know, there's so many things. You could pick any issue and we could divide over it. Because we're all opinionated. But there's only one thing that matters. There's only one thing that will get you in heaven. And it's Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. So my prayer, to get back to the point here, is I want to pray for revival. Because this body imagery is not new. Paul didn't make it up. Jesus, well, as the eternal God, made it up. But the incarnate Jesus who preached and his words are recorded in the New Testament, this goes back to the prophets. I want us to read from Ezekiel chapter 37. I want you to hear that this has been God's prayer for his people for a very, very long time. Thousands of years. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10. is a beautiful and mysterious passage. And this is my prayer for us. And then I'm going to have the worship team come on up. And we're going to focus ourselves with worship. Because there's only one Lord. And we need Him. We need Him. Okay, Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. Pray with me as I read this. Pray with me that the Holy Spirit of God will bring revival and reformation to the church throughout the world, starting here at First Baptist Church in Henry County, to the Church of Henry County, to the region and the state of Indiana Midwest, to the United States of America, to North America, to the Western Hemisphere, to the ends of the earth, throughout the whole world. Lord, we pray forth this word. We pray forth this prophetic image that Jesus Christ, you would send your Holy Spirit upon the one body. You are the head, Lord. So hear this prayer. We pray the word of God. The hand of the Lord is upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. There's so many churches. There's so many dry churches. So many dead bones. Verse 3, He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh Lord, you know. Because the human answer is no, they're dead. They're dried up. They're like chaff. That's the human answer. Verse 4, again He said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, Lord, we speak only what you give us to speak. Oh Lord, we pray forth only that which you tell us to pray forth. Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Congregants of First Baptist Church, churches, congregations of Henry County, churches throughout the nation and the world, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive. Come alive, church, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. Oh Lord, may we see the Church of Henry County. May we see the congregants of First Baptist Church. May we see the churches scattered throughout the Americas and throughout the world. May we see them come together as one body. Oh God, do this. Do it in our midst, Lord. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and the flesh grew, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Oh Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Come, Holy Spirit, upon your church. Prophesy to the breath, Son of Man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God. And we speak forth now this word to the church. I speak this word, and I pray pastorally over you now. This word from the ancient text of Ezekiel. Come from the four winds, O breath of God, and breathe on these slain that they may come to life. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. Hallelujah! And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Oh Lord, we are your people called by your name to bring Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, to bring the hope of the nations to the ends of the earth. And we pray that you would raise up today workers for the harvest. We know the harvest fields are ripe, Lord. And we know you tell us to pray. And so we pray for revival. We pray for you to breathe a fresh breath, for an outpouring of the Spirit. And if there's anyone here who has not yet bowed the knee of Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you will ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. And you will submit your life to Him. And He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. For any believer who needs a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who needs to awaken the Holy Spirit within them to deal with whatever next step you're calling them to do so that they may obey the gospel. I pray, God, now that there will be decisions of sanctification in people's lives. There will be decisions for holiness and wholeness. There will be addictions broken. That there will be some women who are wanting children who have been barren, that there would be open wombs. I pray, Father God, that there would be miracles, that there would be grace upon grace, that there would be an outpouring of your Spirit, that you would unify us We are the one body of Christ. Knit us together. Bind us together. Jesus, we need you. You are our only hope. We need you, Lord. We need you. Come, Holy Spirit, and do this. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus.